One of the new hot books this season is an odd one. It's not totally a baseball title, but it is about baseball. It's by Logan and Noah Miller. It's called Either You're In or You're In the Way. Two brothers, 12 months, and one filmmaking hell ride to keep a promise to their father. And I'm very happy that I have a chance to talk with both of the brothers today. Hi, guys.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Good. Well, congratulations on the book and congratulations on the movie. When is it making its premiere?
The movie will make its theatrical premiere April 30th in San Francisco Bay Area and then Sacramento. And then it'll move to New York May 14th.
Very good. Can you briefly tell us what is the film Touching Home about?
Our dad was homeless for the last 15 years of his life, and we made a vow to him that we were going to tell his story. And it's really a story about an alcoholic father trying to make amends with his sons as they pursue their dreams of playing professional baseball.
Now, why did you decide to do it as a movie? I mean, you wrote this book. Why did you decide to go the movie route, especially since you have no experience in this line?
Right. Well, we wrote the screenplay. The screenplay came first, and you know, we had no intention of writing it. And once our father passed away, we just wanted, he knew about the screen and he had read it, and we just wanted to turn his track to something positive. And so the book came after we made the movie. And but really, the reason that we wanted to make it was to tell our father's story, and because we had made a promise to him that we would tell his story, that we would make this movie. So it's really just a vow that we made to him that we were going to tell his story through a film.
Now, growing up, was your father there for you for your games?
Sometimes. You know, he was, he had a very, you know, he had a terrible disease, and when he wasn't drinking, he would, you know, he was a beautiful man, but when he was drinking, he was, he wasn't that nice to be around. So, and if he was drinking, sometimes he'd show up to the games drunk. Other times, he wouldn't show up at all. So, I mean, he wasn't that reliable, if that's what you question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Was making the movie really as arduous and exhausting as it appears in the book?
Probably even more so. Sure. Because we started, like you said, we had no experience. We had nothing to guide us. We started making the movie on our credit cards. So, you know, we didn't have a huge production team behind us when we first started out. After we'd raised the money, we had a bigger production crew. Still tiny in comparison to what, you know, Universal, Warner Brothers, you're wearing a lot of different hats. We wrote the movie, we directed, we produced, we acted it. So, yeah, I mean, you're working 18-hour days.
Sometimes you don't sleep, at least in the course of production. So, yeah, it was very difficult.
How did you manage to get the Panavision New Filmmaker Grant? How were you able to convince these people with no experience when there are so many other folks out there who've gone to film school, who've done this since they were little kids? That's amazing.
We had a good story, you know, and it was a movie that Panavision felt was worth making. And so, you know, we had a screenplay, and so that demonstrated that we at least, narratively, at least on paper, you know, we had a good idea of what we wanted, and then they just believed in us.
And they believed in our passion. I remember that's what Rick Halpern runs, the Panavision New Filmmaker Program, and, you know, we had to go through the pitching process and the meeting process, and you know, he gets pitched all day long, and he just felt that, you know, this was... There was more to this story. It wasn't, you know, we weren't making some slasher film. We were making, you know, some, you know, dark, edgy, you know, piece that really didn't have any sort of substance or any meaning behind it. This was a true story about our father and about somebody who had, who Hollywood would never tell this guy's story. You know, our dad, you know, to
to people who didn't know him. It was just some homeless guy that died in jail, but he was our father, and he was a very important person to us, and who suffered from a terrible disease. So Panavision felt like that if we could pull this off, that it was a story worth telling. So.
Okay, Logan, let me ask you, which did you find more difficult, the acting, the directing, or the producing?
That's a good question. Well, I would say there are certain aspects of each that are all pretty difficult, but, you know, the producing side, as far as going out and raising the money, that was really difficult to go out and raise the financing. But I think it was more, you know, wearing all four hats at the same time was what was the most difficult. So there was never a time when we were kind of just doing playing one of those roles. We actually playing all four of those roles simultaneously. So.
Mm-hmm. Noah, do you agree?
Yeah, I'd have to. Yeah, I would say the most difficult aspect was, you know, when you're producing a movie, that's the business side, and then when you're directing or writing or acting, that's the creative side. And so they tend to clash, and only our difficulties here are clashing internally, right? So I can maybe give you this, you know, this is, I used to feel when on days where I wasn't acting, I was only directing, I felt like I had the day off. So that makes any, if you can draw anything out of that, I'm sorry. Can't really answer.
No, that's fine. Now, how about the two of you? Did you get along throughout this whole process?
No.
Brothers make really brothers.
I mean, sure, it's a daily battle, you know? I mean, you come to an agreement, hopefully, but I don't know if you have any brothers and sisters, or you have children. I mean, yeah, I think you argue the most with the ones you love. Ultimately we come to agree, but we tried to keep we tried to work things out before we showed up on set, because we didn't want to ever argue in front of the crew. You know, that was sort of one thing that we said going into it. We said, look, you know, whatever we do, whatever arguments, disagreements we have, let's settle those away from the crew so that they don't see dissension within, you know, I mean, the sort of director. Yeah, better to make the wrong decision, which we did all the time, than to have 50, 60, 70 people watch us bicker on set, you know, in front of everybody. It just,
That's a good philosophy. Noah, how did you feel when it was all over? Was there a sense of relief? Was there some sadness, combination?
Oh, yeah, it was a sense of relief for maybe a couple of hours. it's still fresh, you know, and plus we thought we never got a chance to say goodbye to our father, and in some odd way, you know, making this movie allowed us to say goodbye on our own terms in a very unusual way. And so, I mean, there's been sadness throughout because we're constantly reminded of, you know, how our father, his steady decline and you know, how he, where he ended up. And it certainly wasn't something, you know, as Logan said earlier, you know, we loved our dad as much as any sons love their dad. You know, we didn't love him any less because of his problems, you know. And so I think, it's daily. You know, you have those times where you feel that pain, and then there's elation, and then there's times where you're going, what the hell are we doing, or what were, you know? So, really a mixture, I think.
Logan, in the book you write about how Ed Harris was a dead-on for your father. Do you think you could have done this with anyone else?
Well, certainly not as well. He was, you know, Ed's such an extraordinary artist, and he's one of the greatest actors of our time. And so he was somebody that always reminded us of our father, and then Ed became our father. And I don't, you know, know if anybody would have been able to
do as good a job. I mean, it was
Ed cared so much,
and Ed cared so much about us, even though he barely knew us at the time, and he seemed to have a really care about who our father was, and he didn't judge him, and he just wanted to be as true as he could and tell our father's story. So, no, I don't think we could have done it with anybody but Ed Harris. So, he did an extraordinary job. He allowed us to say goodbye to our father, and he took a chance on a couple guys that really were unproven. So.
Now, in addition to Harris, you had some other top-notch performers. Tell us who they were.
We had, as far as actors, we had Robert Forster, who was nominated for Academy Award for Jackie Brown, Brad Dourif, who was nominated for Academy Award in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and then he was acted on Deadwood, and then Lee Merriweather, Evan Jones. We had a great team of actors, and then we had a great team, great production team. We were very, very, very fortunate in the people that we were able to work with. And
early on, we had said, we're going to surround ourselves with gray hair and listen. So we tried to field the best team possible with the most experience. And we'd used a lot of different, like, baseball kind of analogies. Like, we said, okay, making movies is team art, and we're essentially sort of
the
managers or the player, / coaches. And so we need to assemble the best team that we can and allow them to do their job. The right fielder doesn't try to field the ground balls of the shortstop, and the first baseman doesn't tell the pitcher how to pitch. So, we just felt that was our job, sort of as managing this whole sort of team, is to put the best person in each position and then, kind of express our vision to them and then allow them to do their job. So.
Again, we're talking with Logan and Noah Miller, filmmakers and authors. The blurb of the book, Either You're In or You're in the Way, describes the story as implausible. It's about making a film with no experience, no money, and no contacts. Do you guys look back and marvel at what you accomplished, or do you choose not to look back and just look ahead?
Well, we try not to. I mean, you look. No, we don't.
We're very appreciative of what and of what we've accomplished. And
but we're not. We're also not the type of guys that we don't just sit by. We don't like to pat ourselves on the back. I mean, we just want to keep doing what we're doing and keep moving forward. So it's not.
It's a really long season, and we just had opening day, pretty much.
Yeah, that's the way we look at it. We just had a 24-inning,
opening day, victory. So, so there's a lot more to sort of prove, and a lot more to do. And so, we don't, we look back, and we're very appreciative, and feel very fortunate. So
what's next?
We got to get this move. We're just working on the release and doing everything that we can right now, all the different interviews and promotional screenings and working with the distributor and helping them for whatever needs they have of us. And then hopefully have a successful rollout of the film. It's a very small independent film, so, it's not going to be on 2,000, 3,000 screens like Avatar. But if we can roll it out into hopefully hit 20 cities by the end of the release, we'd consider that quite a success. So, and then the next project, we have 12 other screenplays that we've written that we'd like to turn into movies, and they're
all over the map.
Well, that's great. That's great. Good luck with all of that. If you want more information, there's a website. It's called inorintheway.com, and it's all about the book, and there are clips of the movie and other videos and little things about the Miller brothers. And again, gentlemen, thank you very much for your time, and good luck with everything.
Thank you very much, Ron. We appreciate it.